Back here on WREF, the Refs Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan, and I'm Brad Klein. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers phone line. Scott Agnes of Fieldhouse Files is here on the Ref, and he had a grand total of, let me guess, Scott, 4 days of an offseason between the end of the fever and the beginning of the preseason for the Pacers. Does that sound about right?
It depends if you're only counting games there.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah. Pacers are already into training camp when the Fever were holding exit interviews.
Fair enough. So,
there was an overlap of both seasons. Which,
yeah.
Well, yes, it is. It adds a little stress. It adds less off season. I will say it sure beats the heck out of the alternative, which was like 4 years ago when Fever are winning 5 games.
Yeah.
There is zero interest in anybody reading or consuming, and the Pacers missed the playoffs for 2 or 3 straight years. So. I'll take this every single time.
No doubt. And, of course, Scott Agnes from Fieldhouse Files, that is your place to go for all things Pacers and Fever news. And there, of course, is a lot to talk about. We are putting a bow on a magical run through the postseason for the Indiana Fever. No one thought they'd get there. We talked about how they kind of defied the odds with all their injury concerns, and they get to the WNBA semifinal, one game, even 1 point away, in a way, from going to the WNBA finals. And, of course, in overtime, they end up losing to the Aces 107-98. When you reflect on Game 5, the decisive Game 5 of that series against the Aces and the totality of the season, what comes to mind?
Just how they were in it and were so close to winning. So close to winning when probably most people thought they would get swept. Even more didn't even think they'd reach the playoffs, probably after injury after injury. And there they were putting them on the road, having a chance, despite Kelsey Mitchell losing her mid-game. And so the Fever are down, what, 8 players at this point? They have a heck of a good roster, not even in uniform. And they were right there. And I just think that speaks to the connectivity of this group and how they really rallied around one another when the universe was completely against them all season.
You know, last week we were talking about this game on this program, at least I was, and we were talking about the Kelsey Mitchell injury, and it does feel pretty similar. Thankfully, not nearly as drastic or damaging as the Tyrese Halliburton injury, but just the timing of it and the significance in the moment of it feels pretty similar to the Halliburton injury in that your best player goes down and all of a sudden you are without that player in a decisive game and the season's on the line and you come up a little bit short. And now the Fever fans, like the Pacer fans, and many of them are the same, are left thinking, well, if we had had Mitchell, we're probably in this WNBA
yeah.
final. Am I on track here? Am I on the right track of where this kind of stands and sits in Fever fans' heads?
Yeah, you completely captured it. I mean, look, they've probably tuned in or at least seen scores of the first couple games of the WNBA finals, and the Aces have won both.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there like, well, Fever went on the road. Fever took game one. Fever were a threat. And maybe the Mercury will get a game or two here. It is now a 7-game series, by the way. So Vegas needs to win 2 more here. But, no, that's totally right. I mean, the fact that the only difference really with the Mitchell and Halliburton thing in the short term and then that moment was the fact that it was later in the game. Halliburton was early in that first quarter.
Right.
Mitchell was in the middle of the third quarter. But it was a scary scene there being at Michelob Ultra Arena in Las Vegas. Like, no one knew how to react. Everybody was quiet. The Vegas players all gave her, like, pats on the back and hugs as she made her way off the court. And it's one of those where also you see an athlete take pride in themselves and how they got there. There was a stretcher? Nope. There was a wheelchair? Not in public view. And Kelsey, despite later admitting, look, she was dealing with something with severe cramping to the point where she lost feeling in her toes and legs for a short time. That had to be an incredibly scary moment.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're wondering, like, is this permanent? Did I do something? Is there surgery? Where in reality, just fortunately needed intense IVs and such at the local hospital and great work by the Fever and Aces medical staff to get that to her, and then she was able to return with the team the next day on the charter flight. But I think you captured that well, Brad, in that Fever fans who had experienced a lot this season. I think some of them were even out on the team early in the season, right,
yeah.
when things weren't going right. Things were a little bit complicated. Then DeWanna Bonner wants off the team. And then Caitlin, is she in? Is she out? And you're playing that game. Man, that last part of the season, Brad, ever since really the All-Star break, everybody was locked in and loving this team to the point where nobody wanted it to end. They were dreading the moment when the season was over, and they knew, inevitably, this roster would never be the same again.
Scott Agnes from Fieldhouse Files is here on WREF on the Brinker's Jewelers phone line. Brinker's Jewelers can be found on the corner of Green River Road and the Lawn Expressway in Evansville, tradition since 1972. That little green box from Brinker's Jewelers. Also find them online at brinkersjewelers.com. Scott, I want to go back to something you just said, which is that this roster will never be the same again. Why? How different is it going to be, and why will it be so different, say, next year?
Well, one, it's just that's how it works in any professional league, right? There's going to be players that want out, players that want more money, players that want a bigger role. The other thing in this instance is you don't normally have 18 players that come through and wear a uniform. There's 12 roster spots, and the unusualness because of injuries had them bring through so many. And then get to the point, Brad, here where, some of the players, like let's just a random name, Sidney Colson could have had surgery and just, like, left the team, right? Like, I can't contribute. I need to go rehab. I want to get right. Every one of the injured players not only was with them through the end of the year, but traveled, was around the team, tried to find a way to impact the team. Now, looking ahead to free agency and everything here in this offseason, the caveat in all this is we don't know what anything is going to look like. There are so many layers and things that need to happen, Brad, before we really can even talk about free agency, and it all starts with a new collective bargaining agreement between the ownership and the Players Association. That expires, the current one, at the end of this month. We knew this was going to happen because the players opted out last year. So now it was just a matter of can they find common ground. Well, by all accounts from the players that we hear from, forget common ground. They're not even having conversations. They're not even getting to the point where they can negotiate because they are so far apart. And so once that gets settled, I think it will eventually, but I wouldn't say anytime soon. I'm talking months. Then you've got to realize, look, there's two expansion teams. Well, how many players on each team can those teams protect? Then you get into free agency. And the other thing here is so many of the players, because of this new CBA coming, Brad, signed 1-year contracts last season.
Yeah.
There are very few players around the league that know what their contract looks like next season. For the Fever, it's three players, right? It's Caitlin Clark, it's Aaliyah Boston on their rookie deals, and the same thing with Mikayla Tibson, their first-round pick this past year. Outside of that, everyone on the Fever is a free agent, and many will want to return. Others will pursue opportunities. And then I thought Sophie Cunningham put it well in that, I refound my joy for basketball. I love this team, but I also need to consider everything that's out there. We have no idea what the money's going to be like. If I could double my salary somewhere else, how could I not consider that? Now, that said, if it's equal or something, there's no doubt a player like Sophie wants to return. But for those reasons and more, it is just going to be a very complicated WNBA offseason.
Fever coming up a little bit short of the WNBA Finals with a loss in a decisive Game 5 in the semifinal against the Aces. Vegas up 2-0 on the Mercury as a result. And so the offseason begins for the Fever, but then again, they are kind of on pause, to your point, Scott, because they're waiting on the CBA to see what they're going to do with Lexi Hull or Sophie Cunningham or even a player like Odyssey Sims. Does this CBA stuff, does this affect a player like Sims? Because she was so good as a pick-me-up-off-the-street player, and I feel like Fever fans, I know that she's at an advanced stage in her career, but I think Fever fans would want to see her back with how well she played in the postseason, especially 27 points in that final game. Is there a path to getting Sims back?
Yeah, I think the one thing for sure is she's a player that deserves a spot in this league somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, every team needs a third-string point guard at minimum, and I think she became the Fever's fifth one. And the thing, I guess, to this point we haven't even talked about is there's no way the Fever are getting to that semifinal round or maybe even the first round of the playoffs without Odyssey Sims. Like, sure. She was averaging something like 18 points per game in the postseason. On top of that, being the point guard and being the primary ball handler, decision maker, all those different things in a time when so many other players went down. Now, directly in terms of the Fever, I think it's she's probably on the as a fringe player right now. I mean, ahead of her was Ari McDonald, who was tremendous and was really good, and she too suffered a season-ending injury. But I think you'd like to bring back her as well, given depending on what her health status is. Same might be true for Sydney Colson, although Colson suffered an ACL injury, had that surgery in, what, August. And so it may be a situation here where she's just physically not quite ready, and so you go down the line. But you can be sure, given all that she contributed on and off the court, Brad, that she will get considered for one of the last spots on the Fever roster. And my biggest thing that I'd like to see in this new CBA is expanded rosters. I'm sure I've talked with you about this before, but the Fever and other teams were proof of this. Like, to go through so many of those players, why wouldn't it be better off having more players on your roster, even if you want to call them a different type of role? Like in the G League, it's a two-way contract or something, but the player's still around every single day, so that when too many injuries happen, you have someone already there that gets rewarded, maybe gets a bonus, but also there's not a learning curve, which is better off for the player, better off for the team, and better off for more competitive games.
Again, we're talking to Scott Agnes here on WREF. He knows all things Pacers and Fever. We're going to talk about the Pacers in the preseason, how they look early on in a moment. But I do want to talk more about the Fever. And you can't talk about the Fever and how their offseason looks without talking about the CBA thing and the WNBA versus Fee Collier thing. I mean, what do you make of this? What should we make of this? Because it looks like it's getting ugly before it gets resolved.
Yeah, it's already ugly, no doubt about that. I thought that started really around the All-Star break here in Indianapolis, mid-July, when I didn't like the – I'd actually go back 10 days earlier now that I think about it, during the WNBA Cup, the Commissioner's Cup.
Yeah.
They're in Minnesota, and what was 90% of the conversations, Brad, about the CBA, about players being rewarded, about how there's no movement in talks? That's what you're talking about in – what the commissioner would hope is the second most important time of the season, right? From the postseason to the cup. Then you get to All-Star Weekend. All the media day interviews mostly about that, along with them wearing that T-shirt, pay us what you owe us, right before tip-off. And so that takes more conversation than the All-Star game. And then, by the way, we should point out the fact that then they played a terrible All-Star game. So I feel like they didn't back up their talks in all that. But nonetheless, That has been a spotlight on this entire season, and I think you just got to a breaking point with the players. With locally, it's Sophie Cunningham, who's never afraid to speak her mind, but nationally, and Nafisa Collier, who's on the board there, the Players Association, saying, I've had enough. We need to be outspoken about this, speak our mind, or else we're going to go nowhere. Because according to her, they have not had any substantive talks or any movement in more than a month or two. And so I think they all have just gotten fed up because they want clarity on their situation now headed into the offseason.
So, Scott, I'm looking at this Indiana Fever team, and again, they're just kind of in limbo in the same way that every other WNBA team is in limbo for this offseason. But yes. I think a lot of the fans out there, they want to know about Caitlin Clark, because after all this, it really does come down to, hey, this season came up a little bit short, and it probably wouldn't have if Clark had played more than 13 games, if she was available for the postseason. So obviously I know that she doesn't play overseas, which is probably good. She has an opportunity to rest, relax, reset her body, and get ready for the rigor of a full WNBA season next year, no matter who her teammates are, and we don't know what that's going to look like. But Caitlin Clark, how healthy is she, and how healthy will she be next year?
Yeah, so I think one thing we did have with exit interviews is she was able to talk for the first time in over a couple of months. First time since the groin injuries, first time since the ankle injury I first reported about. And despite the team saying it's a groin injury keeping her out, she confirmed what I had continued to report. It was the ankle injury that never allowed her to kind of restart in trying to get back on the court. I think that was something I tried to continue to emphasize there, and it's just an unfortunate situation that happened down there in Phoenix. And so she is not yet 100%. She is still continuing to ramp up her progression. She has no plans at the moment to play in the off season, other than a USA basketball camp that's traditionally held in March, which gives her all the time in the world to get healthy, but also push herself. And she planned to take this past week off, but didn't want to take more than that to lose all that progress that she had made in recent weeks. And another thing fans are talking about is, hey, if they make the finals, could she play? Well, one, she was ineligible. She was not allowed to play even if she was completely healthy because she was not on the Fever's playoff roster. Well, why wasn't she? Because they knew where she was. They knew she couldn't play even if they went the distance here. And so right now, Brad, she's targeting generally to try to get back to playing some maybe 5-on-5 for the first time since July, later in October. She was even saying, hey, I got to find some ways to play 5-on-5. I've thrown out the idea of maybe you play with Butler women's team. She's got good connections there. Maybe you go back to Iowa quietly and be a practice player, so to speak, for the Iowa women's team. Something like that. My last one would be kind of be a practice player with the in Noblesville Boom, the G League team for the Pacers as well. But nonetheless, I think she realizes she has now time. There is no forced timeline, obviously, to when she needs to come back. She will be fine if things go right, headed in all the way, not playing basketball formal game till next May. So she wants to make those right steps with no setbacks, play 5-on-5 here in the next several weeks, and then have a productive offseason. The challenge, though, I see in dealing with players that have felt this before is by not returning and being able to by the end of the season, then the offseason, instead of feeling like progress or adding to your game, it feels like an extension of an isolated, lonely rehab period. So she has to find other ways to kind of stay involved with the game and keep her mind right, because I can't imagine how difficult this season was for her, both physically and mentally, being off the court since July, 15th, I think it is.
Yeah, something like that. Again, Scott Agnes here on WREF. Clearly knows everything there is to know about the Fever. Also, the Pacers, go check him out on Fieldhouse Files for all the latest on basketball based out of Indianapolis. I'll ask you about the Pacers because the NBA preseason is underway. They had the 135-134 preseason win in overtime against the Timberwolves. Always cool to win, but it's the preseason. How should Pacers fans feel about their team right now?
Little concerned, I would say. And why? What did I just wrap up talking about? Fever, point guard, injuries.
Yeah.
How is this Pacers season started now? Pacers, point guard, injuries. Last night in the first preseason game, things look great outside of that, I would say. We saw T.J. McConnell clutch his left hamstring area, leave the game, did not return. Later on, DeLon Wright, who's on an Exhibit 9 contract, a veteran guard, brought in to perhaps be a third-string, fourth-string point guard. He gets an unlucky moment where he's diving for a loose ball and gets hit in the face, leaves with what the team called a head injury. You got to believe they looked into potential concussion symptoms just based on him bleeding from the head and also being a little bit wobbly walking off the court. To the point later in the game, Brad, where the starters did not play after halftime, which is fine, first of four preseason games, but you're starting Talen Peter, a rookie guard, and Quentin Jackson, a two-way guard, there in that second half. So going into this season, I had great questions about the center spot. No Miles Turner for the first time in a decade, and you have two centers competing for minutes who are coming off an Achilles injury less than a year ago. And now point guard depth in serious concern. So I think overall fans are probably excited about what's to come, but in the short term, probably a little bit of pause about how that point guard area is shaping up, given the fact two other things I want to mention here. Ben Shepherd dealing with a calf strain. He has not, he's been limited in training camp. And Cam Jones, who is drafted in the second round there by the Pacers, a guard, ball handling guard, dealing with a back injury. He's out for several weeks. So that's more to the reason why there is great concern right now.
Scott, maybe it's you. Have you ever thought about that?
No, definitely not me. Nope. No, that wouldn't be it. I'm just covering it. I don't have an impact on that stuff. But
yeah,
it definitely
yeah.
feels like something's in the water. Maybe, here's what I say. They no longer have a partnership with Connecticut Water. They need to get back to that because ever since then, something's negative been in the water is what I say.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, Scott, I always really appreciate you taking the time. Your help for us on this program, on this station, throughout the Fever season, that run through the postseason, I mean, it can't be overstated. So thank you so much, and really cool to touch base with you about the Pacers, too. Always appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, great stuff, Brad. Always glad to join you. Thanks.
That's Scott Agnes Fieldhouse Files right here on WREF. With that, we take a step aside. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on 97.7. Listen to TheRef.com and the WREF mobile app.